State lawmakers in Texas have said they'll pass a law designed to improve the quality of state crime laboratories. Hundreds of cases there are under review because of sloppy lab practices in Fort Worth and Houston. In recent years, these lab crises have recurred in state after state, prompting a nationwide reform movement. Some defense attorneys say these efforts don't attack the real problem, the chummy relationship between police officers and labs. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
What's it take to make a great crime lab, one you can trust to produce unimpeachable evidence? Well, for starters, it's nice to have a really great building.
This building has been 7 years in the making.
FBI Lab Director Dwight Adams beams as he inaugurates a kind of forensic Valhalla, a brand spanking new building. Many labs are built as afterthoughts, stuck in the basement of the police department. For years, FBI technicians shared space with agents and clerical staff in downtown Washington. Adams says getting away from headquarters guarantees more than just comfort.
It's the design that separates office space from laboratory space. It's the design that eliminates any possibility of contamination because the evidence takes separate elevators, takes separate hallways from your normal traffic.
Staff at the Houston lab struggled with inadequate facilities, including a leaking roof. But even labs that are in decent shape may not be equipped to handle a different kind of flood, the torrent of DNA evidence that crime labs now have to process. The Virginia State Lab in Richmond is known as one of the leaders in DNA work, and people here say there's one thing that keeps them from being overwhelmed: automation. Linda Johnston, supervisor of the state DNA databank, says she depends heavily on robots and other equipment that processes and computerizes information.
We use a robot to extract the DNA from this, so we have 84 samples on a plate. So they pull 84 samples and then cut them up, do the extraction, amplify the DNA, and then run what we call a typing gel, and then they analyze the gel to get the DNA profiles.
That equipment, of course, costs a lot, but without it, labs can easily fall behind. Internal documents in Houston describe a lab under siege, and that may have eroded quality controls. As a result, one man was sent to prison based on faulty DNA evidence, and there may be many more. DNA has received much of the attention in recent crime lab problems, but here at the New York City facility, lab director Mark Dale faces a more mundane challenge: drugs.
10 to 12,000 narcotic cases a month. We turn around 3,500 per month in less than 5 days.
Dale stands near the drug processing area in the sprawling police lab in Queens. Bags and bags of dope sit in piles waiting for processing. Here, too, automation is key. In another part of the building, rows of chromatographs analyze samples factory style, confirming whether evidence really is heroin or cocaine. The volume creates a need for constant quality control to make sure that a machine is not making mistakes.
Our quality assurance methods would detect that right away. You can see Vito there is doing a check on the instrument right now.
Dale has 6 people checking on quality assurance, making sure that the work of each scientist is checked and double-checked according to lab protocols. An FBI technician recently let those standards slip on over 100 DNA samples. Now they all have to be re-examined, and that could lead to new trials. Mark Dale is a soft-spoken and self-effacing man, but people in the business speak of him as a kind of lab evangelist for the way he spread the gospel about uncompromising standards in lab work. The first rule is this: you cannot check your own work. You have to rely on outside accreditation.
Oh, I think the accreditation program has had a remarkable effect on the forensic community.
Every 5 years, the American Society of Crime Lab Directors comes to his lab and checks out how every piece of evidence is handled.
Is it marked properly? Is there a chain of custody on how it came in here, how it travels within the laboratory? Is the places where the evidence is stored, is it secured? And as you saw, I used a card key to move around the building. Not everybody can get in every room.
New York law requires this oversight. So does Oklahoma, a state that suffered through its own lab scandal 2 years ago. Now the scandals in Houston and Fort Worth may be leading to a similar requirement in Texas, but most major labs in this country are not accredited. Standards and equipment are important, but they mean nothing without a trained, conscientious staff. Lab directors say they have a hard time attracting qualified personnel. TV may be helping. Many in the business say lab workers are attracted by the glam image of the buff investigators from CSI.
I think I've got a partial on the ankle.
Very few sweat glands around the ankle. Prints survive longer. Fortunately for us.
On TV, those prints seem to jump right off the body, guaranteeing that the crime is solved in 60 minutes. Real-life lab techs face a different reality, according to Wendy Becker of the Business School at the State University of New York at Albany.
The way the field is going, it's becoming increasingly automated, and a lot of the DNA processing work is routine and boring and, you know, not interesting detective work.
Becker has been working with her colleagues in the SUNY Biology Department to develop a master's program in forensic science. Emeritus Professor Joe Mascarenhas is helping to design the program. He says the goal is to create a cadre of forensic professionals who will raise standards.
There's been a lot of so-called fly-by-night programs that are pretty poor. People don't even hire their graduates because they're so poor. So we would like that the students from this program would finally end up directing labs.
Traditionally, labs have to train their own people. It can take more than a year of mentoring before lab technicians can do solo work on evidence, and even longer before they are ready to testify as expert witnesses at trial. The Albany program hopes to prime the pump with technicians who not only have the skills, but the ethical background needed to produce reliable evidence. Professor Don Arrokas says he hopes that graduates won't feel that their job is to back up the police report.
We're training these people to think like scientists. I mean, take a look at a problem, you develop a hypothesis, and then you put together a set of experiments to try to address some of those questions. And if, after looking at the data, if it doesn't come out the way you thought it would, well, you still report it.
Yet even with all these measures in place, better training, accreditation of labs, more resources, better facilities, some people say there will still be more scandals, more false convictions. They say there's a basic structural problem that has to be addressed.
We have a system now where almost all crime laboratories are tied to either district attorney's offices or to police departments or sheriff's departments. It just doesn't work.
Peter Neufeld is co-founder of the Innocence Project, which has gained fame by using DNA to free wrongly convicted prisoners. Neufeld says labs get into trouble because they are not independent.
So what you really want to do is not simply create an artificial independence, but you want to change the entire mindset of the people who work in these laboratories so they can be proud that they are independent scientists and not simply cops in lab coats.
The United Kingdom has an independent lab system that Neufeld and others see as a potential model. But for now, the lab reform effort in this country is coming from within, and it gets a big push forward every time a bad lab ends up in the headlines. Larry Abramson, NPR News, New York.